It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to the Keep Sounding Podcast. This is Brian, joined by John as always. John, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good, Brian. Just like we talked before the show, I'm just in a fantastic mood. Nothing's going.
Nothing could possibly go wrong. Everything's great. Sunshine, rainbows, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Unicorns. Yep.
That's not even related to football.
No, not even.
I mean, it couldn't be.
Yeah.
Football wouldn't be a good thing. You know what this is, though? This is every time the Panthers switch play callers, we have a podcast.
I didn't even think of that, but yeah, we didn't plan that ahead of time. We just decided we were going to have a show this week, but then all of a sudden Frank Reich decided to take the play calling duties from Thomas Brown. So I guess that's a good place to start. The offense hasn't looked great over the last few weeks.
Counterpoint, they didn't look good before either.
No, they didn't, though. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I was going to ask you, does it feel, because we had this like kind of conversation of like either or is it both of like, is this panic? Is this not knowing what they're doing? Or is it both?
I feel like it's a little bit of both. I don't really know why. And maybe I don't know. I don't remember ever hearing about this with other past owners, but the whole like weekly meeting with Frank Reich, basically just to tell him how much the team sucks, probably isn't helpful.
Yeah.
Cause Frank Reich was getting criticized. He handed the play calling over to Thomas Brown. They made it seem like that was the plan. Then they scored 13 points each over the last 2 weeks. And now all of a sudden Frank Reich is calling the plays again. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's one of those things where I don't know what exactly Thomas Brown had to work with. They made it sound like the playbook was like 50-50 Frank Reich and Brown, but things weren't all that different when Brown was calling the plays.
Yeah, I don't know what we think we're missing these last 3 weeks, because it's like, I guess it's like a little bit, I mean, like technically the scores are lower, but it's not like they were good before. So I don't know why Frank Reich's like, oh, well, maybe we'll let's get back to where we were before this, because it wasn't working.
Right. I don't know. It's kind of a collection of things. Like, obviously, the play calling hasn't been great, though. I've seen points where people say that, you know, the offense is running what Frank Reich designed it to, but this is not bright. Bryce Young's not executing the way it needs to be, and maybe it's because it's one of those situations where they're running an offense that's where it's more so that they need to conform to the play calling rather than conforming to the players that are in it. So I don't know. It's very frustrating, I guess, to say the least.
Yeah.
That Colts game was abysmal. The Bears game was also abysmal, but the Colts game was really bad because they were moving the ball all right. And then just
turnovers.
Yeah.
And that was I don't know. So I was at the Colts game, and it's even more obvious when you're there, just like how bland and anemic and unsuccessful the offense is. I guess like it's just there's just nothing to do. Like There's no lanes for running backs to run through. There's no pocket for Bryce Young to operate out of. There's no open receivers for him to throw to. It's just bad. Like, there's nothing there at all. There's
And in
nothing
the
schemed
go ahead.
open. There's
Yeah,
nothing
yeah.
schemed open. There's nothing easy. It's just like, it reminds me of like the Mike Shula offenses
Yeah.
after, in the like the Cam era of just like, I don't know what we're supposed to do here. Like, there's just, we're running like very simple concepts, and every now and then we'll run a play. Like, it was, I can't remember which game it was, but we ran like Miles Sanders like came across, like ran out, was in the slot and ran across her, and Adam Thielen came out of the backfield and ran like a little angle route behind him, which, like, the route concept was perfect. I loved that the predictability of like, we want, this is where the ball's supposed to go, so let's put Adam Thielen in that position, even though we'll put Adam Thielen at running back and Miles Sanders at wide receiver because we're going to throw the ball to the running back. Like, not that it was that predictable in the moment, but just like, I feel like that's also kind of representative of the offense that the Panthers have been running, of like very rigid, like, this is what we like, we want to, like, I've seen people pointing out the like play, the splits when it's like Miles Sanders versus Chuba Hubbard in the game from like run passes and stuff, and it's just like, I don't know, where you can basically call the plays based on who's on the field.
Yeah, I don't know. There's part the other problem is that the times that things actually do work out scheme-wise, it's very rare where Bryce Young and the receiver are on the same page. Like times where he makes that anticipation throw, it was the correct read and the receiver just never doesn't catch it, whether they drop it, whether Bryce Young misses him a little bit. So it's like one of those things where nothing is
They
really there's no
stop. He thinks they're going to
cohesiveness.
keep going. They break out. He thinks they're going to break in. Yeah, it's just nothing's working.
There's been a couple of nice plays where I see it. Like there was the long throw to Jonathan, or the long run by Jonathan Mingo. I think it might have been against the Texans, but where he broke out, he ran a really pretty route, then broke out, broke the defensive back's ankles. It turned into like a 30 to 40 yard gain. Then last week we had that guy they brought up from the practice squad, Strawn, and that was a 40 yard completion. Like, so there's flashes there, but there's so many times where they have these negative plays. Like the good example was last week, then coming out of their own end zone or close to it, all of a sudden Miles Sanders loses 6 yards because there's penetration in the interior. So I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where I guess if it was, I guess it, the expectation was that there would be the offense would be a little more, well oiled at this point, and obviously they're not. Now we're seeing an offense where it's a rookie quarterback. Obviously the offensive line injuries didn't help. I mean, they've had backups playing at guard, and that's never good. And the new wide receivers, I mean, Adam Thielen's really the only one who's consistently on the same page with Bryce. So I don't know. I'm kind of just hoping that as the season progresses, we'll see them look a little more well oiled. I'm not expecting them to win a lot of games, but I just kind of want to watch a cohesive offense that isn't throwing the ball, that is throwing the ball a little bit more down the field, and we're seeing a little more of that connection that you want to see on those intermediate routes where Bryce Young's throwing with the anticipation. So I don't know.
Anticipation, like, because that was his big, everybody talks about processing and anticipation. That doesn't really do you much good if like the players you're playing with are like unanticipatable. Like, they're not seeing the same things that you're seeing. Like, it doesn't matter how fast you can
Or
read a
if they're
defense,
slow.
or if they're slow, and or if they can't separate. But yeah, like, if you're seeing windows and the guys aren't getting there, or they're not, whether by like timing wise or just like reading where they're supposed to be, like, it doesn't really matter if there's no one to throw it to there. And like you said,
Yeah,
we
and
see it. We see it. I mean, we have that. There's that the tweet out there. It was like the same thing we kind of cited at the beginning of the year, and it's still true, where his like percentage of throws to open receivers is like abysmally low compared to the rest of the league. But he's also like the most accurate quarterback in the league when he does get to throw to an open receiver. And some
yeah.
of that is on Bryce for like not trusting so what he sees sometimes, but also it's like, it's wild how bad it is.
Yeah, it's a combination of things. I mean, I do see what other people are saying with the hesitation to make those tight window throws, though pretty much a lot of the throws he makes to begin with are tight window throws. But
Yeah.
it's something that I expect to see get better once as he continues to play in the league, gets a little bit better feeling for his receivers. But yeah, it's just very rough to watch. And one of the things that really annoys me is, so I think it was the Bears game, might have been the Bears game, but there's a friend of mine, actually Spencer, friend of the show,
Yeah, Vikings fan,
as
long time.
Adam Thielen on his fantasy team at my recommendation early in the season, like before the draft. I said he's going to be a target sponge, and sure enough, I turned out to be correct because I'm right about most things Panthers. And he was bitching because that fourth down throw where Bryce missed the receiver, and or it was, I think it was tipped away because the downed defensive or the down defensive lineman or linebacker dropped back unexpectedly and knocked the ball out of his hands. And he was like, Adam Thielen was wide open down the field. It's like, okay, but that's a coaching issue because the play was designed for Bryce Young to drop back and throw it immediately. It was not for him to stand in the pocket and read a bunch of things. So,
That's a general like fan misconception, I think, of
yeah.
like quarterback play, where they're like watching like the broadcast view, like, or like the all 22 view, and then they're just looking at the whole field and being like, this guy over here is open. It's just like, well, how is he supposed to see that if he's supposed to look on the other side of the field first? Like,
It's not like the defense is a bunch of stones either. They react to what they see the quarterback doing, and you
You
can't
also
expect.
don't have, sorry, you also don't have time if like your first read is open. You don't have time to, it's like, let me double check and see if the second read is even more open, and then if it isn't, then I'll come back to the first read and throw it to him. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
it's a very binary, like, good enough or not, and if it's yes, you throw it. There's no like, well, oh, this other guy was wide open, let me throw it over there instead, because if you go to check that, you're not gonna have time to come back to the first thing.
Yeah.
Not that it was a
And
good throw by Bryce, but like, yeah, that it's a thing that happens. He missed one.
well, he and that's the unfortunate thing is it's not all on the coaching staff, because there are plenty of times where there are people open where Bryce just sees the one guy and throws it. And granted, that's not a horrible strategy for a rookie quarterback, especially in a situation like this, but there are also times to fairly criticize Bryce where he didn't go through his progressions properly, threw a ball to a guy where they had no business getting the first down. So, I don't know. It's very frustrating, but hopefully, somewhere, somehow, the things start to click, and maybe it'll start with the offensive line. They released Calvin Throckmorton yesterday, who seemed to be a better pass rusher or pass blocker than run blocker, but wasn't really particularly good at both. So now we're looking at, now that Austin Corbett's back at right guard, he's going to make his third start. They're going to be looking at either Chandler Zavala, the rookie fourth round pick, or Cade Mays, who was a sixth round pick last year, starting at that position. So I'm curious to see how that works out for them. Most likely, the Cowboys are going to destroy the Panthers regardless because they have one of the best pass rushers in the NFL.
They have the best
Pass
pass
rush
rusher in the
is,
NFL. Yeah, they
yeah.
actually they have the best, depending on, like, I like to look at the ESPN's like pass block and pass rush and run block win rates and stuff, which obviously is just one stat, it's not gospel, but Micah Parsons is the best pass rusher in the league, and the Cowboys are the best pass rushing team in the league. So
Yeah, I mean, it helps when you have Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence and Dante Fowler. And oh, apparently Sam Williams had a really great game last year as an edge rusher, or last week as an edge rusher as well. So, yeah, it's not great. It's not great when you're facing that many good pass rushers in one game.
they're gonna
So
put
this could
Micah
be.
Parsons on the defensive right, on the Panthers' offensive left, and he's gonna just like literally run a circle around Icky and throw Bryce Young like into the first row.
That's one thing we should touch on real quick as well. Just Icky is, it's unfortunate because if you look at him from a quantitative standpoint, he's been probably one of their best pass rushing tackle or pass defense or pass offense tackles. Jesus Christ, this year. But when he makes a mistake, it looks fucking horrible every time. Like, whether it's missing him, and a lot of times it's more of a mental thing than him just getting beat. Like, a lot of times it's just him blocking the wrong person, him not being on the same page with the left guard, which can be understood because his first season was with Brady Christensen. He doesn't have him this year, so he has, and he they've with that revolving door at guard, the communication issues are
And
going to be there. But
Zavala was the partner he had for the probably the most out of anybody so far, and he was like, what a, really, really bad guard.
Yeah, he's not a pass blocker either. Like I really thought he would make sense on the right side, and he kind of did for a few games, but yeah, they put him on that left side and he had an all-time bad performance against Seattle.
Yeah.
So he's a rookie too, so you got to give him time. I mean, fourth round picks don't all are not typically game
Definitely not
one, two, three, or four starters.
first
So
year starters, yeah.
yeah, but maybe we'll see something better. But yeah, I mean, regardless, if Micah Parsons beats the brakes off Icky this week, I wouldn't hold it against him. I'd just be like, hey,
No.
it's Micah Parsons. He's just that good, you know? Like,
Yeah, like yeah, Micah Parsons is better than Icky. That doesn't mean Icky's bad. Just Micah Parsons is
yeah.
better than almost everybody he goes up against. I just like you said, there's always there just feels like there's like one or two plays a game with Icky that even if like the qual like the overall like you said like the total body of work is fine, there's just like the play like you said the play that he misses a like, standout. There's always feels like one or two games plays a game where he just doesn't block the person in front of him or they like he loses focus or misreads something and just like doesn't even touch the person that like beats him to the edge or beats him
Right.
inside. And it's just like, oh God, what happened there? And because, you know, if that's the nature of the offensive line, like you're not gonna notice the, you know, the other
The good reps.
65 plays where they where the 65 reps where they blocked fine, you're gonna miss the you're gonna really remember the two or three where they get circled on the replay and be like, look at how this guy completely whiffed on his block and gave up the
Yeah.
sack or gave up the pressure. Yeah.
And your tiny quarterback that people were already worried about lasting a 16-game season got fucking buried.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
To Bryson's credit, he does get like thrown around like a rag doll and he doesn't seem fazed at all. I mean, he gets a little bit
The
happy feet a couple he's had a couple times where you could tell he's starting to like anticipate the rush, but I mean, you can't blame him for that. But like for the most part, he's done a good job of handling it like from a mental side of things.
I'll give him credit for he still does stand in the pocket almost to his detriment too long, but that's kind of like what you want a quarterback to do if you're trying to make a play down the field is stand in the pocket. Though the last couple games he definitely has bailed a little bit sooner than you'd like, but
Yeah, there was
he
one
is a
sack
rookie.
near the end of the game of the Bears where he like ran away from nobody to run into a sack, but that and I remember, and I hate that Bryce Young like the situation he's in like he's the situation he's in kind of magnifies his own mistakes, right? Because it's like everyone around it, this isn't this happens in sports in general when like he I would say he's not like the best player yet, but he's like the most important player long term. He's the one that everybody has eyes on, and when everyone around you is messing up and making mistakes. Like you can't make mistakes because you're like you're the one that's not supposed to do this. Like we're all like we've been trying to defend you, saying like you've been fine, and it's a supporting cast. Like so every time you know they're like the one open receiver he gets a game if he misses that throw, or the one time he runs into a sack, it's just like ah see he sucks. That's and it's just like it's hard to like it just it hurts a little bit more when those things happen.
And it's obviously more magnified by the trade. I do remember the days back
Yes.
when Cam Newton was first drafted where people were saying that they should have taken Andy Dalton, they should have taken somebody like AJ Green
Yes.
with the first pick. So it's not anything new. It's just unfortunately because of the fact that they traded away so much for Bryce Young, those
Yep.
feelings are coming up a lot earlier because the coaching staff said he was the guy. They said that they thought they could win with him. And now we're seeing what typically happens with a rookie quarterback in a bad offensive situation. So,
Yep. Yeah, there's yeah, especially with like the quarterback crop that's in this draft class where it's like, oh, you mean we gave up this year's pick and missed out on a better quarterback prospect to get the guy last year and our team got worse. Like, yeah, not a great and yeah, not a great look.
No, not at all.
But yeah, I think the one I don't know saving grace, and I feel like the longer this goes, the less these comparisons are apt. But people do a good job finding good quarterbacks that had similar starts to their career as Bryce has had so far. So, you know, there's still hope. Joe Burrow was similar. It was like Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence,
Peyton Manning, Troy
Peyton Manning's.
Aikman.
Yeah, I don't count those as much because they're so old. Like,
Yeah.
that's like on a curve. It's like look at the yeah, like look at this quarterback from the 1980s. His stats, he's really good, and he's got the same stats as Bryce Young. It's like yeah, but really good quarterbacks in the 80s. If you took their statistical profile and put it in this year's, like in the current NFL kind of arena, like it looks like Zach Wilson or something, like somebody that needs to be
Yeah.
benched. So, but like, yeah, like Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, I guess, which isn't like the ceiling you want, but he's good
Oh
now,
well,
I think.
even Josh Allen was a bit of
Josh
a he
Allen
was
was
a bit of
pretty
a meme.
bad.
He was a meme in those
He
first couple
was, yeah.
seasons.
Well, yeah, because everybody was like, Josh Allen's gonna suck because he sucked in college, and then when he was bad at the beginning of the NFL career, it's like, wow, I can't believe the player that was bad in college is still bad in the NFL. And well, and then look at him; he's a good case study too. In that, like, Brian Daboll is the offensive coordinator, and they scheme a bunch of stuff up, and he's like a superstar, best quarterback in the NFL, one of the top like three quarterbacks in the NFL, and now he looks like trash again. And I
Well,
don't think he
not
got more.
quite, but I know what you mean.
Like statistically, like his
Yeah.
stats have regressed
Have
heavily.
regressed quite a bit. Yeah, I
Yeah, and it's
understand
like
where you're coming from.
I don't think he's gotten worse. You know, and the offensive talent around him hasn't gotten worse. So it's like, you know, there's other factors at play here.
Exactly. There's always other factors at play. But I don't know. It's Mate, before we move on to the defense, Frank Reich, do you want to see him fired this year, John?
I don't know if I could like be like a guy that's like, this is what they should do in firing a coach after 1 year, but at the current pace, I wouldn't be mad at it.
That's kind of how I feel too. I'm very much in the In theory, the theoretical, you move all of the emotion out of it and just look at it logically, and you say, well, no head coach ever has succeeded if they were only given one season. Like, you're out. And I also really like it, Ejiro Evero, which we'll get into the defense here in a second.
I was gonna say that too, yeah.
Yeah,
That's
like
the
Ejiro
big fear.
Evero, I respect the shit out of, and I feel like if you pull the plug on Frank Reich, you're pulling the plug on everybody else in this coaching staff because you can't bring in a new head coach and expect them to just keep the entire coaching staff they have and just adapt to it. We're going to run into the same problem that we had with Frank Reich because all these new different m minds that think differently are going to be in there, and clearly that's not working for them. That said, if they fired Frank Reich and made Ejiro Evero the head coach, wouldn't be mad at all.
No, I wouldn't either. Yeah, so I also think about like, and cherry picking isn't like a strong argument, but it's a thing that's just like it's a possibility. Like the
It's easy.
Lions, yeah, but like the Lions and Dan Campbell, and the first season with Dan Campbell was a disaster, and then the second season with Dan Campbell started off as another disaster, and it's just like, yeah, this guy's just not a head coach. And then I don't know, look at them now, and I don't know what. Thomas Brown, like, I don't know how much of this offensive problem is like Thomas Brown not being what he's cracked up to be, and or how much of it is the players, because the players, I mean, no matter how good the offensive coordinator is, the players aren't good on the Panthers offense right now. But yeah, so like, you know, that and that's kind of where, you know, Dan Campbell's got like the coordinators, and he's got what's it, Brian Johnson?
Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson at the AC/DC thing, yeah, as his offensive coordinator, and that helps. But I think like the Panthers have a similar situation with Evero on defense, and maybe Thomas Brown is supposed to be that kind of guy. But like, yeah, Dan Campbell's first season they went 3-13-1, and then they started out like 1-6 or something in a second season, and then finished 9-8, and now they're 7-2. So like, you know, 1 year, especially with how much of a change it is, doesn't necessarily like a fair shot. I think where it becomes more of a defensible decision to make a change is if stuff, not even if it's not trending up because the players are going to be the same. If stuff starts trending down, it's hard to like, let's try it again next year. And we're close to that point, I think, on offense.
Yeah, no, I understand the frustration. It's just one of those things where I am just not 100% sold on pulling the plug on what they were trying to build because it looked good to
Right.
begin with, but as long as if they found a way to retain Ejiro Evero and even Thomas Brown and let them kind of figure it out, maybe I'd be all right with it. But regardless, let's talk about something positive. Ejiro Evero's defense. That guy's a
Yeah.
fucking magician.
That's that Frank Reich would needs to like go to bed every night and be like, or like just like be sneaking some like extra money to Jiro under the table and being like, thank you for like minimally improving my job security, because they are They've been crushing it since the bye week.
Yeah. I mean,
Not
two
that it's
of
great
the.
competition, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but
The
I mean,
Texans are.
Houston, the Texans' offense has been amazing. The Colts, they basically allowed the same amount of offensive points as the Colts did, or the same amount of points on defense as the Colts did on their defense. Two pick sixes, unfortunately, sealed the deal. And the Bears, just the offense fucked us, basically,
Yeah, right. Yeah,
but the
no.
fact that he's put together a competent defense that doesn't look like trash the entire game with all the players that have been out is just a testament to what kind of scheme or what kind of creator he is on defense. And
Right.
this week he might get J.C. Horn back, and this week he will probably get Brian Burns back. So,
Then play the Cowboys and look worse.
yeah.
So maybe Brian Burns and J.C. Horn are the problem because we can boil it down that simply.
Well,
Good.
we're gonna have a pretty elite, if J.C. Horn plays, we're gonna have a pretty elite group of corners, though. We're gonna have
Yeah.
Horn, Dante Jackson, and DeCaprio Boodle. I mean, what's not to love
Not
about that?
in reverse order, like DeCaprio Boodle, like as the number one guy, right? Like
I don't know about that, but I like what he's been doing. I'll give him
yeah,
that.
and his name.
Of course,
But yeah,
yeah.
so the Panthers are allowing 3.9 yards per play over the last three games, so since the bye week, which is the second best in the league behind the Jets, and then like a pretty decent margin ahead of the Ravens and Cowboys and Cardinals, who are the next three. So like the Colts are meh. They're not like terrible offensively, they're meh, and they were bad. Like the Panthers held them to nothing. The Bears are bad, and the Panthers made sure of that. But like you said, the Texans have been look at the two things the Texans have done after that game. Like they shredded the Buccaneers and the Bengals,
Yep.
and they couldn't like CJ Stroud. We got like outplayed by Bryce Young and whatever you call this Panthers offense that day.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. And then like you said, also the defense has been more like banged up than the offense, and they're improving even with players like dropping out of the lineup and playing guys that didn't even make the team originally or starting and stuff like that. And they're still improving seemingly every week.
Yeah, and I think part of it is just that defense is a lot easier to kind of acclimate into. Like they always start off ahead of the offense when it comes to the preseason, but it seems like they are starting to like get the hang of what Ejiro Evero is doing. And I applaud the guy. I mean, he's doing exactly what he did with Denver last year. Denver's defense was shit last year. They traded away Bradley Chubb. They had a bunch of nobodies basically. And they did the same thing. Like, you know, the defense was never to blame. They, granted, there were the 2 weeks where the Panthers played the Lions and the Dolphins, who were arguably two of the in the conversation for the top four offenses in the league, and they let up 42 points. But it's the same. It's been the same conversation every with the over the last several years with the Panthers. The defense can't do what they're doing all game long, but at least over the last 3 weeks, they've done their damnedest to keep the team in the game, the Panthers in the game.
They have done it all game long, basically.
Yeah.
Like they gave up like a late touchdown to the Bears, but it's just like that. Like that was just one of those, and like by late I mean in the third quarter. But it's just like, yeah, they can't stop them forever. Especially with the field, if like the offense isn't moving the ball and the other team's getting the ball, not long ways to go.
Special shout out as well to DJ to or excuse me Dante Jackson, who had to basically shadow DJ Moore the entire game with the Bears. Now, granted, Tyson Badgett is not a quarterback to write home about, but he held DJ Moore to 50 yards. I would have expected a lot worse than that for a guy who scored four touchdowns in one fucking game at one point this year.
Yeah, and I think the biggest of those plays, the 16-yard one, I think was just like a bubble screen that he ran out. Like it wasn't like a coverage thing. It wasn't, where he got beat down the field or anything. It was just like a bubble screen and blockers clogged it up and he ran, the DJ Moore thing, got some yak. So yeah.
Which
Good.
I think that's a testament to Ejiro Evero as well, because he clearly Dante Jackson is fine. He's a good starting corner, I'd say. Good cornerback too, but I feel like that's a situation where Evero just schemed it up perfectly, where Jackson was never put in a position where he was going to get destroyed. There were a couple times down the field where he was like running with DJ Moore, but he was never in a position where I felt like he was at risk of getting blown up by DJ Moore. So,
Do you know how many plays of 20 or more yards the Panthers have given up in the last three games?
is it zero?
To one. And it was the play
One.
that Noah
Wow.
Brown was out of bounds and the ball got tipped, so he was legally allowed to catch it and then ran up the field.
That's right.
The dumbest. A similar play happened, I think this past weekend. It's the dumbest, like, most, like, random rule.
Right.
Where, like, if Dante Jackson doesn't tip the pass, it's a penalty. Not only is it not a completion, it's a penalty on the Texans, but because the ball got brushed off his fingertip in the air, it's a legal catch and a huge gain.
Well, on the flip side, if the ball's tipped, you're allowed to tackle whoever's around the ball. So,
Yeah, it's a weird kind
it's
of,
a
it
very
just
weird
seems
rule. I agree.
arbitrary. Yeah, no, I feel like the rule is just like if you're like out of bounds, you can't be like the first player to like possess it, maybe not touch it, is a weird way to phrase that rule.
Right.
But anyway, that's a couple weeks old problem by now.
Right.
So I guess
But
real quick to like look ahead for like a couple minutes. If there's one thing that's like hopeful, is this weekend's game against the Cowboys is like the last game against a good team, depending on
yeah.
how good you think the Jaguars are.
The Jaguars is a winnable game just based on the personnel looking at. Now, granted, that depends on if the Panthers even have a defense to field by then, but
Right.
but I feel like that is a winnable game just based on the matchups, especially if the secondary can stay healthy. Please, JC Horn, please, for the love of God.
Please prove you're right.
Yeah, I'm so tired of it all with him, but because I love the guy, I love that guy as a player when he's healthy, but yeah, no, I 100% agree. Like the Panthers, if the Panthers walk, like get out of this horrible start of the season and end the season with like 5 wins, I mean, it's not the worst thing. It means they showed some progress.
Yeah, we all kind of forget it. Not forget, but definitely would soften the anger, I think, over the start, like the first half of the season, over half of the season. But yeah, it
Yeah.
goes, yeah. I mean, the weird thing is three straight road games after this Cowboys game, and then three or four at home to finish the season, and it's Falcons, Packers, Jaguars, Buccaneers, and all four of those are winnable games.
Yep. Just depends on which Baker Mayfield shows up and just depends on which quarterback is playing for the Falcons. So,
Yeah, but the way the defense is playing, like all like after the Cowboys, like the defense could very feasibly hold. I don't know if they would, they won't, I don't think they would do it every week, but they could feasibly hold all those teams under 20 points. I mean, they've done it the
yeah.
last 3 weeks to similar caliber teams. And we just need the offense to get like a little, just like score like three touchdowns once or twice,
Yeah.
steal some wins.
Or get a pick six or get the special teams to make a play, which another thing we never mentioned, but the special teams has also been fantastic this year. So
Just
it's a
Panthers football.
shame.
The Panthers are Iowa
Yeah.
college football. Except
They are.
the Panthers don't win because they're playing in the NFL and other teams can still score.
Yeah. In the NFL, you can't win when the only touchdown that you've scored was a punt return. So,
Right.
yeah. But before we end the show, I guess let's go with the scoring prediction for the Dallas Cowboys game at home in Carolina.
Panthers 14, and both of those are in like the fourth quarter. Cowboys 156.
156.
No,
You know what? I wouldn't be if they got to 100 points, I wouldn't even be mad at that point. I would just be enjoying it. I'd be enjoying the fuck out of it.
we're witnessing history.
We're witnesses to history. The Panthers are a part of it. Forty-nine to 17, Cowboys over Panthers.
My real one would be like 35-17, and where it just like, similar to what the Cowboys have done the last couple of weeks, where like they'll force a couple turnovers, score some quick touchdowns, and then the Panthers are playing from behind and their pass rush is teeing off, and then the Cowboys will, excuse me, eventually just kind of like call the dogs off, and the Panthers can
Turtle.
grab a
Yeah.
couple garbage touchdowns again, garbage time touchdowns against vanilla like prevent defenses against backups and make the score look like it wasn't as bad as it was.
Yeah, if the Cardinals game didn't happen earlier this year to show them like, hey, you can't look past NFL teams, I might have been a
Yeah.
little more optimistic, but I have a feeling they're coming to this game and be like, we're going to blow the doors off this team in the
Right,
first half. Like, yeah.
that was their one overlook opponent, and they're like, yeah, we're not doing that again. I mean, they beat the Giants 89-17 across two games, and like, yeah, they've other than the Cardinals, they've destroyed bad teams. So, and the
That's what you're supposed to do.
Panthers, believe it or not, hot take, are bad.
The worst team in football by record at this point.
Yeah, that's what
Gotta
people are
love it.
saying.
It's not even what people are saying, it's what the record says.
Yeah, word on the streets is the Panthers are bad.
Yeah, word on the streets. We'll see. Maybe they'll do the most Panthers thing of all time and pull out a win against the Cowboys. That would be hilarious, if only just to see Cowboys fans pain. So,
That would make the whole season worth it. Frank Reich
yeah.
job secured.
Congratulations, Frank. You've secured our you've secured our blessing for at least another year if you beat the
Yep.
Cowboys somehow, no matter
Yeah.
what how else happens the rest of the year.
Right. Panthers are 2-15, but they covered a 10.5. They beat the Cowboys like 10-point underdogs at home. You're fine. Which I'm surprised it's only like 10.5 last I saw. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, the betting lines have been really weird this year, but yeah, I think that about covers it then.
Quick show, because no one wants to hear us talk about the Panthers for 1.5 hours.
Well, it's also just a lot of hammering on the same things. The Panthers
Right.
suck, the coaches suck, the wide receivers suck, the offensive line
Yeah.
sucks. I wish the defense wasn't so hurt. Bryce Young is short. Why didn't we draft CJ Stroud? You know, all that
Yeah.
stuff. So, but
We'll repeat it all again in a couple weeks.
I'm sure we will. But anyway, from all of us here on the Keep Sounding podcast, this is Brian, joined by John as always. Stay tuned, stay safe, stay healthy. And if you happen to find yourself watching the Panthers game on Sunday, I hope you find some enjoyment in it.
Good luck. See ya.
See ya.